work, and I couldn't do any of it. You know, when I first started pastoring, I used to lead the singing. I'm serious. Brother Gavino remembers. It was terrible. But I didn't think it was that bad because I was delusional. But amen, they said, let the preachers preach and the singers sing. I want to tell Miss Myra this morning that we love her. We wish she was here with us, and I know she's sick. And also, Ezra Jurgen is in church for the first time this morning, and he's not even supposed to be born yet, so he's ahead of the schedule. All right, take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. I want to thank the Lord for everyone He saved this morning and the abilities and the talents He gave them. What a blessing it is when people work together for the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, and also just quickly as I mentioned this, you need to pray because, you know, we have a lot of music and it's not enough for one pianist to keep up with it. And Brother Rocha's looking at moving maybe if the Lord opens that door. So you pray the Lord sends us someone to help us with the music, right? And the Lord will at the right time. He always has. He's been faithful. 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to read a few verses here. If you do not have a handout that has the points of the sermon on it, raise your hand and we'll get you one. Even the kids can have one if they want. They can follow along. Raise your hand up high and Thomas will get you one. All right. 1 Corinthians 15. You keep your hands up high until he gets you that. And then we will start reading 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I am going to start reading here in verse 3. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3. The Bible says, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that He was seen of James, and then of all the apostles, and last of all He was seen of me, also as one born out of due time. Now look with me to verse 12. If Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you there is no resurrection of the dead? Keep in mind the Corinthians were going to church. They were speaking in tongues. They were doing all these things. They came behind in no gift. But why were they going to church if there were some among them that said there's no resurrection from the dead? Isn't that weird? Well, why would you be there if you didn't believe in an afterlife? They were there for the wrong reason. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins, then they also which are fallen asleep in Jesus are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Look with me in verses 29 through 34. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead if the dead rise not at all? Look, Christ died and He was buried. and he rose again. And when we are baptized, that's why we're baptized. That symbols that death, burial, and resurrection. But why would we do that if the dead rise not? Verse 30, and why stand we in jeopardy every hour? Why am I risking my neck and about to be killed if Christ is not risen? Verse 31, I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake unto righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is a rebuke on people that were going through the motions, and they were going through church, and they were doing all these things, but there were some problems, and the problem came back to what they believed about the resurrection and what they believed about the afterlife. Brother, can you ask the blessing on the sermon?
Dear Lord, we come unto you in prayer this morning, God. We want to give you thanks, Lord, for your mercy and your grace and the blood that was shed on the cross by your Son, Lord. We thank you, God, that he is risen, Lord, and through that, we are able to live again, God, and honor and glorify you. We pray, Lord, that you can bless this message. Open our hearts, Lord, to be attentive, Lord, this morning. We pray you can bless the messenger, Lord. And thank you, God, for your mercy and your grace and everything you've done for us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I want you to consider this verse. It says, to whom also he shewed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Jesus didn't rise from the dead and then just all of a sudden go off to heaven so it wasn't verified. For 40 days after he rose from the dead, he appeared to people, the 500 people, the apostles, to James and to Paul and to Peter. And it talks about all the people that he appeared to after he resurrected for 40 days. And if you do not believe it, it is not because you do not have the evidence for it. It is because you have heart trouble. Because there is more evidence for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ than there were people to witness your birth. I had an Amish friend, and he wanted to get a birth passport. And they said, you don't have a birth certificate. He said, we don't do that. He said, they said, you can't even prove you were born in America. And so they took his word for it, and a couple eyewitness testimonies that they took it for granted that he was born. But he only had a couple witnesses. The Lord had so many witnesses, and yet people don't believe it. They said there was no resurrection. And you know what Paul did with that? He dealt with that here in these verses we read. He said, if there is no resurrection, then these are the conclusions that you have to draw. You know, how many of you heard of Harry Houdini? Harry Houdini was a magician, and they would put him in fetters and he would break out. They would put him all locked up and they would throw him in an icy river and he would unlock himself and come out. They would seal him in a coffin and he would come out. They would lock him in a milk can and he would come out. They would rivet him in a barrel and he would come out. But one day his appendix ruptured. An old man Death laid his hands on Harry Houdini. And he told his wife, he says, if I die and there's a way out, I'll find it. He had the flexibility of an eel and the lives of a cat. And he said, if I can figure out a way, I will meet you on the anniversary of my death. And for 10 years, his wife lit a candle above his portrait there, and she waited him on the anniversary of his death for 10 years. And after 10 years, she turned off the light, and he still has not escaped. But you know what? Death laid his hands on the Lord Jesus Christ and put him in a rock-hewn tomb, and there was a stone rolled away with the seal of the Roman government on it. But on the third day, the Lord Jesus Christ stirred himself. And even though he was encased in those grave clothes that were glued about him like a mummy, he came out and they were there, and he walked out of that tomb, and later he had the angel rolled away, not so he could get out, but the disciples could see that he was gone. And he's gone. Death could not keep him, and Jesus Christ is alive. He's not behind us in a tomb, he's before us on a throne. But what if there was no resurrection? Then these are the conclusions you would have to draw. People always say that there's no resurrection. They say that Jesus didn't really rise from the dead. He rose in spirit. You know, Krishna said he would come back in spirit to his followers. Mary Baker Eddy said that death was nothing and she would conquer it and come back. Her tomb is still with us to this day. But if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then preaching would be profitless. Look at verse 14. If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Our preaching is vain. What is vain? It's vanity. It's worthless. It's to no avail. It's to no profit. There's nothing good about it. 31% of Christians surveyed thinks it's a nice story, but they don't believe Jesus actually rose from the dead. They don't believe he actually did. Well, then why are you going to church? Well, why are you listening to preaching? There's a lot of preachers that do not believe in the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know what they are? They are frauds and they are fakes. And what they are doing is profitless. There was a man, and he walked in, a preacher, and he walked into a barbershop to get his hair cut, and he gets his hair cut, and he goes to pay 50 cents for the haircut back in those days. And the guy said, oh, no, that's okay. I don't need your payment. You're a preacher. And he said, well, I want to repay you. He said, I'll come listen to you preach. He said, well, I don't have any 50-cent sermons. He said, that's okay. I'll come hear you twice. And listen, if Christ has not rose from the dead, they're frauds and their preaching is profitless. I'm wasting my time. You're wasting your time. Let's burn the church down and go home. And everybody that's preaching that doesn't believe in the resurrection should quit and go get an honest job. Preachers say that his body's behind us in an ancient tomb and his nameless spirit goes marching on. Paul said, all the preaching that I've done and all the risking my life for the gospel and standing in jeopardy every hour and getting rocks thrown at me and fighting with beasts at Ephesus, what profiteth me? Preaching would be profitless. And it is to a lot of people. It says the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish. Listen, if you do not believe in the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, what I'm doing here this morning will do you absolutely zero good. It's profitless. There's power in preaching, but that is resurrection power that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Without the resurrection, you have no gospel. He said in verse 1 through 4, this is the gospel. He was died and he died for our sins and he was buried and he rose the third day according to the scripture. You have nothing to preach about. You're no different than anyone else. All man can do with their modern inventions and all the technology from the day of Christ till now, all that man can do for you is make you die a little bit more comfortably if you can afford it. That's all they can do for you. Nothing else. They can't stop it. Death is coming. And preaching without the resurrection, it would be profitless, of no value. But if he is raised, it has value. You can't have it either way. It's either of no value, 100%, or it 100% has value. And you know what this encourages me? What I'm doing this morning is not profitless. It has value. It makes a difference because Christ is risen from the dead. Amen. Number two, faith would be foolish. If Christ be not risen, verse 14, then is our preaching vain and your faith is also vain. Either my faith is worth something or it's worth nothing. Either I am going into a closet, talking to myself because I'm delusional, and I have an imaginary friend, or it's real. Faith is no better than the object of your faith. And if Christ be not risen, it's of no good. Why would you put your faith in a dead Messiah? You're trusting somebody that can't save you, somebody that doesn't deserve your trust. Who would put their faith in Jesus if he was still dead? Listen, it's not enough to believe that Jesus died for you. You have to believe that he rose again. Now, that's the wrong verse. I have 10:9. Look at Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. It says, and keep your place there. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Listen, I can die for your sins, but it won't do you any good. There's thousands of people that die for other people's sins. They die because someone else has sinned and someone shot them, or maybe they jump in front of a bullet to stop them, or maybe they take their punishment, you know? There's people that step up and die for other people's sins. You kill me and let him go free. That's happened thousands of times throughout history. But what good is it? You know, Abraham, he goes up there and he's going to sacrifice his son Isaac. And you know what the Lord said? Nah, it's no good. I won't accept it. God will provide himself a lamb without blemish and without spot. And then Jesus comes and it says, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The sacrifice of Abraham's boy wouldn't do no good because he was a sinner. You know what? If Jesus is still in the grave, a faith would be foolish. The difference between Jesus Christ and the founders of other religions is they lived and they died and they're dead. And Jesus lived and died and rose again. There's no need to follow a loser. Jesus escaped death. But if he's still in the grave, our faith is worthless. It says in Romans 1:4 that he was declared. How do we know that Jesus Christ is, he wasn't making stuff up? How do we know he was actually the Son of God? How do we know he can actually back up his claims? He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, you can't get there by baptism. You can't get there by church membership. You can't get there by saying prayers. He said, the only way there is through me. How do you know he wasn't delusional? What if I said that? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What a conceited jerk. I can't even handle my own problems, let alone your problems. But Jesus said, everyone, you all have problems. You all have needs. Financial needs, emotional needs, whatever your needs are, come to me and I'll give you rest. Amen. What a statement. How do we know he wasn't delusional? He was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness. How? By the resurrection of the dead. Faith is not foolish. Why? Because Jesus Christ came up from the dead and he was declared to be the Son of God with power. How do I know he can save me? How do I know the Bible is true? Not because it's logical. If you want to get in an argument with somebody about what they believe and you say that's not logical, you're standing on shaky ground. Because we believe some stuff that is not logical. I mean, it's not logical to think that he was born of a virgin. It's not logical to think that he's coming back on a white horse against atomic nuclear energy. It's not logical. It's not logical to think that I'm going to get on that horse with him and I'm going to ride back with him. But how do we know that's true? Because of the resurrection from the dead. How do we know faith is not vain? Because Jesus Christ came out of the grave, and God put His stamp of approval on Him. And He's shown to be the Son of God with power. A dead Savior is nobody's Savior. And then what is the third thing that would happen if there was no resurrection? The disciples would be deceivers. Look down here in verse, He said, our faith is vain, our preaching's vain, verse 15, and yea, we are found false witnesses of God. False witnesses, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised? Notice, did He say, look in verse 15 with me, did He say we are mistaken? No, He said we are false witnesses. What is a false witness? It's a liar. It's somebody who knowingly convinces someone out in a court that something is untrue. He said, if Jesus is in the grave, I am a liar and I'm a deceiver, and I'm telling somebody to put their trust in something that can bring them no hope. He said, we have testified of it, that Christ came out from the dead. Let me ask you this question. Are the disciples liars? Did Apostle Paul and Peter and James and the other apostles, did they just cook up a big fat lie and it's been the greatest lie in the world? That's what people would have you believe. They want you to believe that Paul was a liar and Peter was a liar and Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John were liars. How do we know they weren't liars? Because they sealed their testimony with their blood. James was the brother of Jesus, and he didn't believe on Jesus. And then something happened. Jesus came out of the ground. After He was dead and put in that tomb, after a spear went through His side. And He was put in that tomb, and 3 days later He came out, and sometime after that He's like, hey James, what's going on? Jesus? Yeah, it's me, it's your brother. What are you doing here? I told you that I would die and I would come back after 3 days. Yeah, but I never believed it. But he believed it after that. And he became a leader in the church. And one of the top leaders in the church, if you read the book of Acts. And he wrote the book of James. And it says, Josephus said that he was delivered to be stoned. And he died for his testimony. Why don't you think he was a liar? What about Peter? You know what Peter did? All the disciples, they forsook him and fled, and they're hiding. And then you read the book of Acts, and they're preaching on the streets, and they're like, don't do that or we'll kill you. And they're like, we can't help but speak the things that be of God. They went from hiding to preaching and testifying that the Lord Jesus Christ has come back. Peter said, I go a fishing. And then all of a sudden, he's preaching, and he dies upside down, crucified for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul had a letter in his hand. In his letter he had in his hand, it said, I can kill anybody that believes on Jesus. I can bring them and kill them. And then he's going with his flashlight and he's looking for people to kill. And all of a sudden he meets Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road, the resurrected Jesus Christ. And he changes his mind and he becomes a disciple, an apostle for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's getting other people saved. And now he has his life on the line. And the hunter becomes the hunted. How do you know he wasn't a liar? The disciples, if Jesus didn't come from the dead, you are saying that the disciples, why would they lie about it? If somebody's going to lie, there has to be a reason why they lie. Why do you think they lied about it if they did? For money? Are you kidding me? Paul left his job as a Pharisee where he profited in the Jews' religion above any. His wealthy, comfortable job as a Pharisee, respected under Gamaliel, and he left that and he started making tents and preaching the gospel to selfish people that wouldn't give, and he wouldn't charge them, so the integrity of the gospel would remain. And he suffered hunger, and he was abased and abounded, and he suffered need. He lied about it for money. I'm not going to say that. You're taking the wrong pills. I'll say that. Why else would they do it? For popularity? Matthew, the tax collector? All these people, they gave up their prestige. They gave up their popularity. They gave up their positions. They were humiliated. And what did they have to gain by it? Martyrs and hypocrites are not made out of the same material. People tell lies to get out of trouble, not to get into trouble. A lot of people will live for a lie, but few people will die for one. You're going to tell me they were a crook? Peter was a perjurer. And Paul, who wrote the most of the Testament, was a deceiver. If a person's going to be put to death, he's only going to be put to death for something he believes in. The disciples would be deceivers. And sin would be sovereign. If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, verse 17, and ye are yet in your sins. You know, every one of us in here have sinned. We're sinners by nature, by birth, and by practice. And if Christ is still in the grave, you have no hope because God can't overlook your sin. If God would overlook your sin, He would no longer be God. He's holy and He can't do that. He cannot overlook it. It has to be pardoned by Christ or punished in hell. And the resurrection of the Lord shows that God accepted the payment for your sins on Calvary. If Jesus was still in the grave, that would mean that there was something left in the atonement and God didn't accept the payment. Look at this verse. Who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. No resurrection means no Savior. Without the resurrection, His death couldn't save anyone. But His resurrection was for our justification. Death couldn't keep Him. It couldn't hold Him. Because He had not sinned. The wages of sin is death. And He took our sins, but He Himself had not sinned, so His soul was not left in hell. Neither did His Holy One suffer corruption. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. He didn't. He took the punishment for our sins and made the payment for our sins. But He was able to come up again. Death couldn't keep Him because it had no power over Him. And if there was something lacking, if Jesus had sinned one time, there was a spider. A long time ago, I heard a fable, read a fable about a spider. And he saw an old lion and he hated the lion, the king of the jungle. He said, I'm tired of him walking around here roaring, eating everyone like he's okay and all big. He said, I'm going to kill him. And the lion went into a cave one day and he fell asleep. And the spider started spinning a web across the mouth of the cave. And he spun across, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, up and down, up and until he done spun himself out a web. Then he had a whole big old web on the front of that cave and he sat down and he said, now the lion is mine. He's my prisoner. He's not going to go through the jungle at night eating his prey. No longer will he bask in the sunlight. He is my prisoner. But a few hours later, the old lion stirred himself. And he shook the dust off his mane and he stretched like a cat's do. And he let out a big roar that echoed down the valleys and across the mountains and the jungle. And he walked out of the cave and he never even knew the spider's web was there. And death put Jesus Christ in the grave. And it rolled a tomb across the front of the grave. And it says, aha, I have him now. And 3 days later, the Lord Jesus Christ stirred. And he shook the grave clothes off and walked right out of that grave. And death never even had nothing on him. Why? Because he never sinned. If Jesus never resurrected, death would have dominion. In verse 18, it says, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If Christ did not raise, you have no hope for an afterlife. There's no afterlife. Let's just eat, drink, and be merry. If Christ didn't rise, get all you can all you get, and just live it up, because there's nothing after this. And it's all vanity, and it's all purposeless, and there is no point to your existence. How do people live like that? I said, why are you here? Oh, I'm just an accident. You have no purpose? No. No purpose. Purposeless living. I said, that is so sad. So why do you keep living? There's no point to your existence. Purposeless. Pointless. What a sad, miserable thing. And that's what people would have you believe. And he said, if that's true, he said, those that fallen asleep in Jesus are perished. You have a loved one that died? Spouse, father, mother, grandma, grandpa, sons, daughters, brothers and sisters, forget it, they're gone. All we can look to is getting sicker and sicker, winding down, dying, getting cremated or having some dirt thrown over us, and letting worms eat our flesh. If Christ is still in the grave, then life is just a cruel joke. Are you telling me that that's all us humans are for? And these bonds that we share between one another as humans, it's just for a few minutes and it's done and then it's over and we'll never know one another again and there's no meaning? I preach a lot of funerals, and you know what happens at every funeral? The part comes where they say goodbye, they close the coffin, and that's usually for the loved one the hardest part, closing it for the last time. And they let it down, throw some dirt over it. And I remember brother and sister Jones, Griffin and Melvis Jones, they were about near to saints. And I remember Griffin died and they had his coffin laid out here. And I remember her crying and telling me, she said, I got to get him something. And so she got a 16 dozen or some crazy amount of red roses and made it into a heart. And it said, to my sweetheart. And it was right up here next to the coffin. And she was in a motorized wheelchair and she was sitting about where Brother Phil is. And she drives up here. She looks down into that coffin and reaches over there and she said, I love you, sweetheart. I'll see you soon. But if Christ is not risen, that's not true. What a sad... There's no hell. There's no heaven. We're just gone forever. Just dead and gone. My husband's not there. Just dead and gone. And that's all there is to it. Those that have fallen asleep in Christ have not perished. The heathens would have you believe it, but it's not true. You can go to the catacombs in Rome, and miles under Rome they built those catacombs, and the Christians were persecuted and they buried their dead under there, and the pagans buried their dead under there, and you can walk through those catacombs and you can read the inscriptions, and here's some pagan inscriptions. Live for the present hour since we're sure of nothing else. What hopelessness. I lifted up my hands against the gods who took me away to 20. I have done no wrong. Once I was not, now I am not. I know nothing about it, and it's no concern of mine. Traveler, curse me not as you pass, for I am in darkness. And then you have the Christian ones. Here lies Marcy, put to death in the green of peace. Lawrence, the sweetest son, carried away by angels. Call, he went in peace. Victorious in life, victorious in death. Listen, the Lord fought the iron bars of death, and He conquered them. And because Jesus Christ came out of the grave, you and I have hope one day that we will come out of the grave. He broke the bars of death, and death no longer has dominion because Christ arose. And lastly, not only would death have dominion, but the future would be fearful. Look in verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You know what Paul's saying? If Jesus Christ is still in the grave, then nothing else matters. But if He came out of the grave, then nothing else matters. If He's in the grave, nothing matters. But if He came out of the grave, nothing else matters. If there is no resurrection, we're just a poor, deluded fools, and we are of all men most miserable. Sunday fun day. Atheists, they have no song. But He took the sting out of death. He took the dread out of death. He took the gloom out of the grave, and He gave us hope that's steadfast and sure. Let me ask you, what is your future? Is it fearful? Or is it fabulous? One time there was a man named Albert Einstein. I don't know if you've ever heard about him. But he was a physicist, and one time he was traveling from Princeton, leaving there and going there on a train. And back then the conductor used to come and punch the tickets. He came to Einstein, and Einstein's like, and then he looks in the seat next to him, looks, and the guy said, "Don't worry about it, Dr. Einstein, I know who you are." He said, "Don't worry about it. I know you must have bought a ticket. I know who you are. Don't worry about it. Just go on. Just go on to your destination." And he goes up and he keeps punching tickets. He's about to go into the next car and start punching their tickets. And he looks back and he sees Einstein on the floor looking under the chair. And he said, "What are you doing? Dr. Einstein, don't worry about it. I know you have a ticket." He said, "I know who you are." He said, "Young man, I know who I am too. I just don't know where I'm going." Let me ask you this. Do you know where you're going? Amen. Do you know where you're going? When death lays His icy cold hands on you, takes you out of your body, where will you go? If you're lost and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, according to Jesus Christ and according to the Bible that's valid, you would go to hell. And the only way not to go to hell is to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to say, I'm a sinner. I'm going to die because I'm a sinner. The wages of sin is death, and I deserve to die and go to hell. But I know that You died for me, and I know that the payment for my sins on the cross was sufficient because You came out of the grave. And I'm not going to trust my religion anymore. I'm not going to trust my good works. I'm not going to try to turn over a new leaf anymore. I'm going to trust the One who died for me. I'm going to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He lives, I can live also. Amen. How I did that, I said, "Lord, I know. I deserve it. If You burnt me for eternity, You would sure be doing the right thing. I know You died for me, and the best way I know how I receive You, I trust You." And I just felt a burden of sin lift off me, and I've never been the same. And if you've never done that this morning, then the future for you is fearful. But if you've done that, and you believe that Christ has come out of the grave, then preaching is profitable, faith is feasible, the disciples are dependable, sin has been subdued, Death has been defeated, and the future is fabulous. The truth of the ages is that Jesus Christ came out of the grave. He lives, and only fools doubt it. The question is, do you live? And if you're already saved, most of you are. If you're already a Christian, why has it not changed anything? Are you like the Corinthians? How say some among you there is no resurrection? You know what the Corinthians were doing? They were eating things sacrificed to idols. They were going and committing fornication. They were joining their bodies to harlots. If you look down there in verse 15, in verse 33 and 34, you know what they were doing? They weren't witnessing anymore. Some have not the knowledge of God. Verse 34, I speak this to your shame. Listen, Jesus came out of the grave. Why does that not affect your life? You know what I've been telling people? He's alive. Jesus is alive. That's how you know what to believe. He is alive. You can trust Him. And Paul was so upset at a bunch of people that called themselves Christians, and they went through the motions, and they went to church, but they did not live with the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ at work in their lives. So what is it for you? You saved or you lost? Are you right with God or are you backslidden? If I can have the piano player come forward, and you bow your head and close your eyes, the invitation here is twofold. If you're not living in the resurrected power of the Lord Jesus Christ, why don't you ask the Lord to help you live the reality that He is alive? Nothing else matters if Jesus Christ came out of the grave. Nothing else matters. And if you've never been saved and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, would you lift your hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. I've never asked Him to save me. And I know I'm a sinner. Would you pray for me?" If you would just slip your hand up, we're not going to point you out. We're not going to come. And we just want to pray for you. Anyone like that in there? Never trusted Christ as my Savior. The future for me is fearful. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? All right. Let's pray.